Hi, I'm Brandon Poe, founder of Poe Group Advisors and creator of the Accounting Practice Academy. You are listening to the Accountant's Flight Plan podcast, where we talk about stuff in the accounting world. If you're looking to buy or sell a practice, we are the premier accounting practice intermediary firm in the industry. Check us out at poegroupadvisors.com. If you're a firm owner looking to build a more profitable practice while actually reducing owner hours, sign up for our practice management workshop, which only runs a few times per year. Learn more at accountingpracticeacademy.com. All right, thanks for joining the podcast today. We have a very special guest for you. His name is Jim Alkire, and we sold Jim's practice almost a year ago. I guess it's coming on a year, right, Jim?
That's correct.
So, and his practice was in the Washington, D.C. area. So, Jim, welcome. And we could just start a little bit by telling our guest a little bit about your firm and how you built your firm, and just a little background about your public accounting experience.
Sure. Happy to. Well, first of all, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. Metro area. Graduated from the University of Maryland in 1978, and, you know, tried and passed the exam in 1979, and since then have worked in public accounting till the day I retired. Now, busting that up a little bit, I worked for a few different firms from 1979 to 1990, and that's when I started my own practice.
Okay, so you had about 11 years of public experience before you started a firm?
That is correct.
Yeah. I'm curious, what was the spark that made you decide to start your own firm?
it's an interesting question. I worked for two large local firms the first one was from 79 to 84. And then from 84 to December of 1990, I worked for another large local firm. And I was at the time treasurer of the Herndon Chamber of Commerce. And there was a fella involved in the chamber that kind of recruited me and had been over the years since I was involved with the chamber. And finally, I decided to make the switch. And that was in September of 1990. Unfortunately, that change did not work out for me. I gave it my best shot. 90 days later, I went in and I indicated that I didn't have any intention of continuing my relationship with that firm. And so there I was, 35 years old, December of 1990, with no job. So I just decided to I had the skill set based on my prior experience, and my older brother, Steve, who lives out in San Diego, is a self-employed individual, and I've been helping him out, and I thought, you know what, let's go the self-employed route and see what happens.
Oh, wow.
And best decision I ever made.
Wow. Now, did the firm grow pretty rapidly right out of the gate? Did you have some people that you could pull over immediately?
No, not at all. I had the covenant not to compete, and I respected that. Didn't necessarily agree with it, but I respected it. And so basically just threw out a shingle and started making some cold calls, anything I could do to generate a little business.
Yeah. Wow. That's, a lot of people start that way. It's scary, but it's also exciting, and you made it. So congratulations for that.
I appreciate that.
Well, fast forward into 2019, you sold your firm. So I want to know more about the process of your decision to sell on the timing, because in our experience, that's one of the most difficult things for people to decide on, is like, when do we get out? When's the right time to exit your firm? And again, was there an event or some sort of sudden epiphany, or was it a longer term process, like you started thinking about it years prior? Tell us about your decision on the timing of when you wanted to exit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I actually started a very small transition back in 2015. I had four large clients that required reviewed financial statements. I had been representing those clients since the early 90s. And I just decided that I wanted to get out of the financial statement business. And so I contacted a well-known firm here in Reston and met with their managing partner. And so I transitioned those clients over to them, knowing that they would be able, they would have the bandwidth and the personnel to be able to take care of those clients' needs, which was utmost of importance to me. And so at that point, I realized, okay, I'm kind of shrinking this thing a little bit. Those four clients probably at the time represented about 18% of my gross revenue. Hmm. But interestingly enough, in 2016, 2017, that revenue just backfilled back in. And so I was back up to the full capacity almost immediately. Then fast forward to the 2019 tax season. It was a great one. Really went well. My wife, Libby, helps me in the office. I am a sole practitioner. And we had a really good tax season. Looking forward to relaxing a little bit in the spring and summer and knocking out the work that still needed to be done, extension work, et cetera. I turned 65 on June 9th in 2019. It's just something around that birthday kind of hit me. I had always thought that I had maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 years left that I wanted to work. But I just had this dramatic shift in thinking and realized I really didn't want to do it anymore. It's not that I didn't have the heart to do it. I just felt like, you know what? I've been working for 40 years now. Maybe it's time to think about backing off and backing off completely instead of revisiting, transitioning part of my practice or something like that. So all of a sudden, my wife and I chatted and we decided that that's what we wanted to do.
Wow. So you just decided, hey, I want to make a clean break. It's time. You came to that decision. It sounded like you were pretty resolute very early on, which is very fortunate.
Yeah. Once I made the decision, there was no looking back. Interesting story, briefly. Back when I was working for the firm back in the 80s, the partner there, Charlie Lowry, I was in his office and he was probably 60 at the time. And so what was I was maybe 30, 31. And, he looked at me across his desk and he says, Jim, you got to understand one thing. You've only got so many tax seasons in you. And I looked back at him and I said, okay. You know, thinking what's this old guy talking about? Well, you know what? Now I'm the old guy.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to what you said a minute ago about when you sold those clients or the four big ones and mm-hmm. everything backfilled, your capacity got swallowed up almost immediately. I have heard so many people tell me that. Like and the reason I bring it up because too often I think CPAs put up with clients, maybe some clients that they don't really want to work with, or they do work that they don't really want to continue doing too long because they think, hey, if I lose that revenue, disaster is going to strike. So it was interesting that everything filled in very quickly for you. It seems like as soon as the capacity is available, it gets filled. Is that what your experience was pretty much? Like, or did you have to go out and try to fill it or?
No. I've never done any advertising short of maybe the first couple of years when I opened practice back in the early 90s. Everything's word of mouth. And no, I didn't actively pursue anything. It just backfilled on its own.
Yeah.
I really don't remember specifically how or why. It wasn't because I acquired new big clients. It was more of just more of the 1040s, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, when you decided to exit, did you think about contacting firms in your area and just doing it on your own? Did you think about having somebody groomed to take over?
Here's the thing about my practice. As I mentioned, I'm a sole practitioner. I was very hands-on. I did have part-time employees throughout my business life until my wife joined me, maybe I would say about 2013-2014. I was the guy. I picked up my own phone. My clients had immediate access to me when they picked up the phone. So my clients were used to that sort of service. I'm not saying this was the smart way to go about it. It's just the way it evolved. Mm-hmm. The firm that I transitioned the larger clients to is a large local firm, probably 60 people plus, 70 people plus. But I felt like that those four clients could use a firm like that. When I started thinking about, and believe me, they were anxious for me to, when I decided to transition completely, they were very interested in talking to me about that. But I started thinking about the makeup of my clients and the way our relationship was, me being so hands-on and them having immediate access to me. And I started thinking, big firm, lots of layers, big office building, parking lots. I just didn't think it was the right fit for my clients, for a majority of my clients. And so I just wanted to go the sole practitioner or smaller firm. I wanted to look into that aspect or that probability of transitioning. I just felt like my clients would respond better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a good decision because there's definitely a cultural change when you go from a small firm to a bigger firm like that. Well, did you do anything to get ready for exit? I mean, I remember some of the aspects of your practice. You had a pretty good practice. Did you do anything years prior? Did you ramp up or gear up in any way to sell it, or just, hey, it's in good shape, I'm ready to sell it, and let's go?
Yeah, I didn't do anything to ramp up. As I said, the decision to sell was sort of abrupt. You know, I thought, like I mentioned earlier, I had a few more years in me. And so, I really didn't do anything to prepare for exiting other than contact you and your company.
Well, we're glad you did.
And as we discussed when we started the process, my interest was in finding an appropriate buyer, which, again, I didn't think a large firm with a big office and multi people working on accounts would work. And so you were able to guide me as to the type of potential buyer that would best be suited for me. And then off we went.
Yeah, nice. Well, so once you'd made that decision to sell, what did you see as your biggest challenges to getting it sold and exited and transitioned? What did you see as the big roadblocks, if any?
Well, I didn't really see any roadblocks. I've been fortunate and blessed with having some relationships with financial advisors over the 30 years that I had my practice. And I was referred very, very good clients, the type of clients that firms like to have, that are used to receiving professional advice, appreciate the professional advice, and are willing to pay for that. So I needed, my biggest challenge was finding the appropriate buyer that understood what they would be taking over. They would be taking over a firm that the owner was very much hands-on, and had the ability to through the resources, to take care of their needs.
Yep. Well, how's the practice doing, and how's the buyer doing since you exited last year?
Well, the closing date was December 15th, 2019. So it's been about 11 months. I helped the buyer through the end of January, so about 40, 45 days. We did everything together. I outlined things. I provided them with summaries and documents. I created documents just so that he would have a resource should he not be able to contact me. And as I told him, I'm available to you. My office was right across the street. He took over my office, my phones, my office furniture. So it worked out well from that standpoint. By the time February 1st rolled around, he was gearing up for tax season. He was on his way. We probably chatted and or met 10 to 15 times during tax season, and maybe about the same amount of times since April 15th. Although I know the tax season was extended this year, but I'm talking about the traditional end of tax season. And he's been doing great. He's asked really good questions about situations that were more complex. And I've always had a feeling that he understood and grasped what needed to be looked into and how to go about finding solutions. And I've been very pleased. I know my client. I suspected my clients were going to be in good hands when the transition happened. And I feel real good about it. That in fact did take place.
Nice. What did you learn from the whole exit experience that maybe surprised you a little bit?
The amount of work you guys gave me to get my firm, presentable for sale to buyers.
Yeah. Just the initial understanding of the business, the presentation of it, that before we ever go to market, the amount of work, is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was all stuff that, I sort of maybe in the back of my mind suspected I would have to come up with, but every bit of what you asked me to do was a worthwhile endeavor, and certainly put my practice out there in a very positive light for potential buyers. But it was, it was a lot of work. Definitely, yeah. A lot of work, but well worth the time and effort on my part.
Yeah, we just find that if you do the work on the front end, if we do our work on that front end, then everything after that gets easier. So that's been our experience. So what would kind of advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about exiting their firm? What would you tell someone who's going through that initial just consideration of it?
Well, and I'll say this, assuming that the person is retiring, because I suspect 98% of the people who sell a practice are probably retiring. Being a sole practitioner and having my office directly across the street was a wonderful plus, but it also tended to make every day that I was in town somewhat of a work day, even whether it was for an hour or a couple hours or 10 or 12 hours. I always seemed to be at the office. A Sunday to me was no different than a Tuesday. I mean, they were days that if I needed to go to the office, I would do so. And now that the dust has settled, or certainly it was settling in the spring, retirement opens up a whole lot of time, which obviously I think people are aware of. And what I have found is that it's always a good idea, particularly now that we're coming into the winter months and golf season is ending and things that I like to do, yard work, that sort of thing. I try to think of things a day or two in advance. I don't like to wake up in the morning and say, gee, what am I going to do today? Besides the normal activities that one does around the house. So that would probably be my one bit of advice that I would pass on to people, is to plan your activities in advance so that you don't wake up in the morning again wondering what you're going to do today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of an adjustment period, I would imagine. You've got all this time that you didn't have before. A little bit of an adjustment to life, huh?
Absolutely, and particularly in today's world, new world.
Yeah, the COVID didn't help. I mean, because like as soon as you got out, or, like I know my wife and I, we canceled a lot of trips this past year and couldn't go places that we wanted to go. So that could have put a damper on things. Maybe you get to travel and do some fun stuff in 2021.
Well, yeah, I agree. We haven't been able to travel the way we had planned, but you know, we've done other things. My wife took up the game of golf, and so we golf a little bit together. And again, just try to plan in advance so that we're not waking up in the morning wondering what we're going to do.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, what's if you were to give some advice to a person who's starting out in public practice, or maybe starting out on their own with their own firm, what's some advice or life lesson would you want to share with them?
Well, I would say that from my standpoint, I was always a doer, tended not to want to delegate, tended to be the person, and this was prior to me starting my practice, tended to want to just take care of a client's needs rather than explain to maybe a more junior person at the firm how to proceed with it and take care of and have someone in the office or multiple people in the office where you become more of a manager and an overseer. If I go back in time, I think I would probably have tried to establish those skills better than I did. I became a one-man band that relied on my wife or my part-time office help and basically did everything myself. That at times can create some anxiety and stress, which affects your sleep and whatnot. So I think that the model that I chose is not the best in the world. I think that if I was making a recommendation to someone that was going out on their own, that would be to model it more as if expecting growth, knowing you're going to need help, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I've been very successful. Very successful. Don't get me wrong. That's the way I'm wired, and I never was really had the either the ability or the inclination to do it a different way for me.
Yeah, delegation is hard for a lot of CPAs. I don't think you're alone at all there. But it is a skill set that you have to develop, like you mentioned. Well, Jim, you know, this has been a very really good conversation. Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Well, I really can't think of anything. We've covered a lot. And I appreciate, and I'm glad that you asked me to join you this morning. And I wish you well in the future.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure our listeners are going to value some of the things that you've had to say. So thank you very much for sharing your experience.
Thanks for listening to the Accountant's Flight Plan Podcast. If you like what you heard today, please follow us so that you can get updates when new episodes are released and share our podcast with your friends and colleagues. You can also follow Poe Group Advisors on social media. Please visit our website for more information at poegroupadvisors.com.